Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's halfway mark of March. We're heading to the end of the month, and the market has gone completely nuts.
It feels like it's, you know, those that period of time during Christmas where kind of everything's closed for that, or Thanksgiving for that matter, where everything's closed and you like have nowhere to go and the streets are like just empty. It's kind of feels like that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You can go to the store.
You can go to the store and then have to deal with, you know, all the possible ailments and all that.
Nah.
Are you locked down? I think your area is locked down, isn't it?
Yeah, supposedly, but there's people on the freeway. It doesn't look that much different than yesterday before they locked it down. And you can go to the store and you can go to the bank. If you go to the store, my daughter and her fiance went to the store today and they went to the store yesterday. And yesterday the store was packed. We're talking about Whole Foods. The store was packed. The lines went all the way to the back of the store. They were just jammed.
I mean, today, this is definitely good for them.
Today was nobody was there.
Mm, they got everything, all that they needed.
So now's the time to go.
Yeah. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we're having corned beef and cabbage.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Did you make it?
Yeah, of course.
You boiled it for a few hours in a brine?
Three and a half hours.
3.5 hours, then throw the cabbage in it afterwards and some carrots and potatoes?
You actually should boil it with the carrots and celery and onion, and then you should put a potato in it the last hour and a half along with the cabbage.
It kind of thickens it up a little bit.
Well,
aside from that, it doesn't seem like a St. Patrick's Day here where most of the bars you can't go to. Bars closed at 10 o'clock at night by mandate. A lot of places closed voluntarily.
We've got Guinness.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Little shot of Jameson, maybe a pickleback. You ever have a pickleback?
What is that? Pickle juice and scotch or Irish whiskey?
Yeah, you do a Jameson shot and then you follow it down with a shot of pickle juice.
Ah.
Yes, do a few of those. That will send you out, send you off on your way pretty good.
Yeah, send you to the toilet.
Yep. Well, here we got history made almost every day over the last week. Yesterday, we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average drop a whopping, heart-pumping 3,000 points.
I would look into that.
What do you mean?
This seems like a computer, if there ever was.
No, the computers just have no idea what to do here. They just keep on selling and selling.
Yeah, so they sold everything.
Well, there's a lot of reasons for this. NASDAQ being down 1,000. I mean, there's definitely reasons for what's going on, and a lot of it has to do with a grab for cash. There's
Yeah, but before the computer era, I've witnessed a few of these collapses. It was falling off a cliff. It was like, whoa. And it wasn't 3,000 points and then up 1,000. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit exaggerated. But there are some reasons for this. First of all, we came into this year with, I would think, that valuations ridiculously stretched. People were just buying stocks to buy stocks.
Right, you bitched about this for quite a while.
Yeah, and then you have companies buying their stocks back and then having to all of a sudden say, you know what, we can't do that right now. We got to reserve and conserve cash. What if? So now all this money that they've been using over these years that they could have socked aside like an Apple, putting aside into their cash coffers to save for a rainy day. No. They're being pushed by investors. They're being pushed by activists to do shareholder-friendly actions, upping their dividends, putting out more. So now they're pushing all this cash out, and dividends now, oh, no, maybe they'll be cut. But share buybacks, pretty much every bank has stopped share buybacks now.
Good.
Yep. And one of the big reasons that's going on here is we have a major, major disruption in the credit markets, which started last September with the whole repo thing that went on and the shortage and the Fed pumping money into the repo market and the overnight lending market and the, to make sure that banks and corporations can settle their books by the end of the day with treasuries. And it's gotten out of hand. As a matter of fact, today, we'll talk about the list of things they announced today, but one of the things they announced today was that two times per day, they're going to be working in the repo market at a total of $500 billion twice a day, morning and afternoon. $1 trillion a day.
Doing what?
Working and making sure the repo market and the credit markets are working well, making sure that the money markets don't have any problems, making sure that companies have cash on hand. $500 okay. billion dollars twice per day for the foreseeable Jeez. Future.
That seems like a lot.
It's unbelievable.
And now they're supposed to give it, everyone wants to give away money to the public.
Yeah. Now we got Andrew Chang's deal coming through.
Yeah. Chang was ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time. He knew it was happening, but it just couldn't last. So we have a new item, a new term that's being thrown out there. We call virus deniers. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen it, but I haven't seen any virus deniers. Most people are all in.
I have people that I saw on, like, let's say a friend of mine. I look at Facebook every, I don't know, couple of days, just kind of maybe every day, just buzz through it real quick when I'm needing to just kill some time, usually in the morning, if you know what I'm saying. And I saw this post from a friend of mine and says, you know, hey, everybody's out of control. This whole thing is, you know, really pushed to the limits. And there's people lying to you about really this whole virus coming here. Look, we don't have anybody here that is really showing any signs, like last week or so. Any signs and this whole thing and this whole bullshit. And then he comes back today, or maybe yesterday, with an apology, which was pretty big of him, saying, you know what? I was stupid for saying what I said. I don't know why I said what I said. But the reality is, you know, I guess I was just getting caught up in the wave of just denying this whole thing. I didn't want to believe it. This started with Trump was saying it was a hoax, that it's not no big deal.
He never said it was a hoax.
All right, he said that it really wasn't a big deal.
He said it's another Democrat hoax. Oh. And he's referring to the fact that the Democrats were ginning it up in a way to go after him again.
All right. Okay. I got you. But I think there was, and I agree, by the way, I think that when this all started, we all thought that this was going to be contained to maybe, you know, China and then a little bit of exposure for us. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be like this, did they?
What is it like? It's still, the numbers are still remarkably low.
Well, just wait till next week when we talk, okay?
All right.
It's going to be much worse. One of the reasons is we know there hasn't been any significant testing done. And if the spectrum and curve works, this is a new one, the curve flattener. Have you heard this? We're working on the curve flattening. But the curve looks like...
That's where we're all jogging in place. Yes. What is it? Jogging in place.
No, it's not standing, jogging in place.
Running in place. That's what you used to do in high school.
It's not running in place. It's... Sheltering in place.
So we're all sheltering in place is the idea, is that they're supposed to flatten the curve. And what they mean technically, which is something is still dubious to me, is that we're all going to still get infected, but over a longer period of time. Yeah. So the hospitals don't get overwhelmed. Right. Seems a bit much.
Well,
I just listened to all the old broadcasts about the swine flu in 1976. And I hear a lot of the same things. And it's I'm not a virus denier because there's no doubt that this virus is floating around. So there's no denying that. But this, I think the effects are being exaggerated, and we're not going to have millions and millions of people, which is what they're telling us, dead.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I do agree, though, that there will be a significant amount of infection rate. Right?
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
I would like to see, I'm watching. It's like, we'll see. There is.
Well, if there isn't, this is the most epic waste of time to shut down businesses.
Yeah, but maybe we shouldn't say anything one way or the other until we get our free money.
Yeah, that's true. Let's just wait till we get our money. Maybe this is just...
And we're supposed to get it in 2 weeks, according to Mnuchin.
According to Trump, we're going to get it in 2 weeks. Mnuchin said he doesn't think we can get it out before April.
Oh. Mm.
Which is in 2 weeks, by the way. April's in 2 weeks, but he doesn't think we'll get it out by then. And are you going to get it? And am I going to get it? I'm hearing I'm not going to get it.
Why aren't you going to get it?
I make too much money. Isn't there going to be maybe a certain amount of income?
Trump is saying everybody gets, get a car and you get a car. Everybody gets $1,000 or two.
I hope so.
I could use $1,000.
Yeah, why not? What are you going to do with it?
Probably buy some more wine.
Yeah. I have a few people that say they can use the $1,000 to buy a gun. That's the new thing going on.
Yes, the gun thing. It's always a kind of the irony of anything that goes on. The Democrats are trying to ride to some sort of victory.
Yeah.
As people go nuts and buy guns.
Yeah. The Fed dropped rates to 0% over the weekend in a surprise announcement on a Sunday, which was not that much of a surprise. The only surprise was they were having a meeting today and tomorrow, and they seemingly couldn't have waited till tomorrow to make this announcement. They also announced about a $700 billion restart of the quantitative easing program. So we're going back to the old playbook. We got the TALF, we got the TAF, we got the TOF, the DOP, the, you know, any all those acronyms from back in the day.
Yep.
Is it going right back to that playbook? You're also doing allowing for companies to potentially postpone their earnings announcements to shelter and hide their earnings for next quarter. Good, love it. And we're supposed to be doing social distancing. And what, you know what? Great time for podcasting because we are social distancing.
Podcast is the best timing in the world for podcasters. Yeah.
We're all together, yet we're socially distant. Well, we're distant. We're socially Dismal. Together, but distant. And you got us in your ears or on your speakers. But yet we're here with you, but not. I think this is great.
Yeah.
So let's see what we got here. Markets were halted again Monday morning, again 15 minutes. I thought there was going to be a double halt, but there wasn't. Futures were halted most of Sunday night. Futures were halted tonight as they went up too much. And then crude oil was at 28. Now it's at 27.
That's the most that I've been surprised about very little of this. 3,000 kind of caught me off guard. But I was very surprised by the oil going down. I thought it was due for a rebound, not down to 27. That's like, wow.
We're talking about Goldman saying possibly 17.
Well, that now you know that's the end of it then.
Yeah, right. They're calling, that's it. But
Goldman and their $100 prediction never made that either.
The only thing that held it up this week was Trump saying that we're going to be buying lots and lots of oil for the strategic reserves.
Yes, we can refill the strategic reserves. At
cheap costs.
Because we've been tapping them every so often.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty incredible. Now, since last week, I've been keeping track of the VIX, the fear gauge.
Yeah, I saw that.
You can see all the crossouts there, right? So all this information, by the way, show notes are on episode number 497 on DH Unplugged. You just go over there and check all this out. The charts, the things we'll talk about will all be on there. DHUnplugged.com. So the VIX was 20, went to 25, 45, back down to 35, up to 55, up to 77. Yesterday, it closed at 82.69, which you know what that is? It's an all-time record.
That's astonishing.
All-time record. And yeah, we closed today at 75.91, which is still ridiculous. I mean, that's unbelievable.
When the market goes down 3,000 points, I assume the VIX is going to go skyrocketing.
I can tell you that I personally, I'm going to bear something to you right now. Beginning of the year, I said, you know what? I want to buy a VIX option. Markets have really been plumbing too much to the upside. I'm going to spend $5,000. I'm going to buy 550 contracts of the $1 cost on the 20 VIX for April.
Oh, you cleaned up.
Correct. It was up 60%. I'm like, you know what? I've seen this story before. I'm going to sell it. I'll rebuy back when it comes low. So I made $3,000 on my $5,000 investment within a few weeks. Do you know what it would be worth today?
Oh, you got out before it took the big shot.
Yep. You want to know the number? Because it's very disturbing.
What?
225.
What would
$225,000.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, you got out way too soon.
No, well, really? No kidding. And what's interesting about that was, even as the VIX was really moving higher to 35, 40, 50, when this should have been worth like $50 at that point, it wasn't there. It wasn't going at the right level. I'm like, you know what? This thing isn't acting right anyway. It should be whatever the price is minus it and a little bit differential. I'm like, anyway, yeah, that was kind of disturbing.
Yeah, I'd be bothered by that. Yeah. But you can't gripe about making money.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that a few times. But the bottom line is this is, you know, I said when I bought it, I'm not getting rid of this through April because I really think there's going to be, did I think there was going to be this?
Oh, you violated your own basic rule.
I said, you know, I'm going to go, I always go a month more than I think. I said, March is probably the time that I'm going to be looking at. Did I think this was going to happen? No. Did I think it'd get 25 or 30? Maybe. So, anyway. Through Monday, through yesterday, Dow Jones Industrial down 29%, S&P down 26%, NASDAQ down 23%. Here's a picture of the VIX on the record high here. This was yesterday. It closed a little bit lower today. This goes all the way back. The record high was back on probably March of 2009.
That's ludicrous. Yeah, I can see why you'd get out.
Yeah, when it went to do that initial spike.
Boing, boing. It's never going to go there.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's only, what, on this whole chart back to 2014, two times that it clipped 50.
Stop gain at 80.
Amazing. So we have this meeting on the 18th coming up for the Fed. So that's tomorrow, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:30 conference call or meeting and conference call, conference and press conference. So the big question is, what the hell are they going to discuss?
I have no idea.
They can't make any further decisions. They're out of ammo. They're done. Is it? Right? They're the 0 to 0.25. Rates are already at the zero interest rate bounds. $700 billion QE program. I guess they're going to just rehash all this. excuse me. They could probably put a Mario Draghi, you know, we'll do everything's on the table and we'll do anything that we need to do. That's what it looks like to me. And we're having one of those here comes the cavalry moment. And I can't remember. I just cannot remember. I looked it up. I tried to find the video of when those days in the dark hours of 2008-09 when the Congress was in session, they were going to do the TARP and they were going to do the bailouts of the banks and all this was going on and Lehman was going under. And you'd flash to the Congress and all these congressmen would come into the camera. And one of the guys said, don't worry. Here comes the cavalry. And I'm like, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? Because don't forget all this work that the Fed does and the government, it's like trying to open up an egg with a sledgehammer. So everything they do is just overdone. So far we haven't seen anything really on the fiscal front. There's something that's being voted on to allow for some additional funding in a variety of areas. We had a national emergency that was called. We need definitely a bazooka. The things that are on the list are like a stopgap payment for workers, 0% loan for payroll. There's some discussion. I think that there is possibility that if we do get this $1,000 per employee or per person, that employers are going to be like, you know, they got money. We can lay them off. We don't feel so bad. What do you think about that?
Yep. I think it's a good analysis because that's exactly the way, you know, everyone would think they think like that.
Right. Hourly workers, obviously, we need some help that those are being laid off aside from unemployment insurance. Thursday, we're going to see the number on the initial claims. That should be interesting. Some other action. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, all these, you know, think about all the restaurants and bars that closed and all this is being laid
off. We're going to go out of business.
Yeah. I don't know how this is going to work in terms of what does $1,000 do for them or anybody?
Well, I take it.
I know you're going to take it. But let's say that you didn't have a job. You're not earning money all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to keep me, I'd be able to buy, you know, some groceries for a couple of weeks.
Right. So you can buy groceries, which you need to buy anyway. You're not going out to the bars because they're not open.
Saving me money.
You're not necessarily going out and buying clothes because Macy's has closed all the stores, which they should stay closed, by the way.
They should have done that a long time ago.
So, I mean, it will help. I get it for people that are living paycheck to paycheck. I get it. I totally understand. I think it's very smart to do. It's smarter than a payroll tax cut, which I would have liked. Payroll tax cut would have been fantastic for me because I would have saved money on the payroll tax I pay for myself and the matching part that I pay for my employees.
Right.
That would have been good. That would have helped me keep employees on the payroll. Right.
Technically, yeah.
Well, I mean, if I get to save 7.5%, that's technically like a month's worth of pay if you annualize that.
Yeah, it's about right.
So at least I got people like say, you know what? At least I'm getting that. We're going to have a $1 trillion plan, supposedly, from some kind of program that's coming out. We have potentially allowing homeowners to delay mortgage payments. Again, how do you qualify for that? And how... How in hell do the banks even do that?
It's not going to happen.
Okay. But we are seeing that, and I think France is allowing for rents not to be paid somehow. Now, I don't know how they get.
They're more, you know, they got a set, their system of everything is so alien to ours that they can do weird stuff.
I don't know. I mean, there is something to be said about this this mortgage holiday. But what about people that are renting? Again, this whole thing, it's just, it's so, I think what's happening is they're just throwing out.
Well, they're not going to do either one of those things, let's face it.
Right. And they're just saying everything they can to be like, you know, oh, let's get the markets back up. And I got to tell you.
That ain't going to work.
For all the blubbering and blathering that Trump has done historically in his speeches, the last two press conferences were very impressive.
Okay.
Did you see him?
No, I saw one of them. I didn't think it was that out of the ordinary. It seemed okay.
I thought he was very...
I wasn't blown away.
Well, I just thought he was very much... even though when somebody asked him, you know, how do you rate yourself during this? And he said, I give myself a 10. I think we got a 10. 10 out of 10.
Back to, that's normal.
Yeah, well, that's normal. But
that's a good sign.
Right. The rest of it looked like he was very... concerned and being just, I just thought it was very interesting.
He knows the market is collapsing and he's a real estate guy. He knows what the implications are. He's very, a lot of people wouldn't be so, you know, they're politicians, they don't care.
And not to mention that he says a hell of a lot of hotels.
Yeah, he has, yes, he does. He's a big hotelier. Yeah, he's got tons of them. Yeah. Golf courses and other things. Well, the golf course is big. Probably people probably still play golf, but. The hotels, no, people aren't traveling. It's awkward.
Yep. UK is announcing a $400 billion government-backed loans for businesses. So I guess what we're doing is we're just adding more debt to the situation.
Yeah, that can't be good.
Let's put more debt on it. We've got a problem. Yep. Give them more money to pay back.
On everything, yeah.
That's where the slave thing comes in from No Agenda. By the way, No Agenda show, you could listen every week on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, and they put together quite the show. Quite the show, I must say. Very good stuff. Taking apart all the news that's out there, deconstructing it, putting it back together, and coming up with sometimes some zany, but sometimes from the future, representations of what's really going on. So check that out. Okay, let's see. Okay, so here's what's really important. I got, you know, if anybody's really concerned about the minutia of what's happening right now, and why the markets are so freaked out, it a lot of it deals with the internal plumbing, which we've talked about before, this whole idea of the repo market and commercial paper. And I'll tell you a couple things we did. First of all, this week, it was last week. Last week, I got very concerned. I think it was last week. Last week, I got very concerned about two things. I said, you know what? The commercial paper market is a concerning area, and I see it potentially falling apart. When I look at the commercial paper or what's called bank loans or overnight lending, short-term debt instruments that are backed by companies. I look at history and I can see that, you know, these are bonds, these are short-term debt, but what happened back in some of the other credit cycles was these things fell apart pretty bad. There was no bids. Nobody wanted them. The funds that held them dropped like 40%. You don't want a fund dropping 40% that owns bonds. That's not what you have it for, right?
No, it's just the opposite.
Right.
It should be stable.
Right. So during good times when there's credit expansion, when things are healthy, really good investment. You get about 5% on your money and there's very little movement. So for the last couple of years, we've had these. I cut back about 50% of the position midway through last year. And we had, I don't know, 3.5% position in our portfolio as part of the bond structure. So last week I said, you know, this thing is down like 4% this year. We're getting interest, so maybe it's down net 3-ish, 3.2. We're cutting it because I think that if we start to see this whole thing fall apart, commercial paper and bank notes are going to be a problem. The second thing I did this week was we moved all of our money market accounts into treasury-backed money market accounts. Any money that we had sitting on the sideline in major doses, not the couple of thousand in the sweep accounts, okay? That's not a problem. But any what we call money purchase accounts, we move to a treasury-backed or government-backed money market or FDIC-backed. So the reason is because a lot of companies are now needing to tap credit lines, which is pressuring the banks. And this is why the Fed had to come in to unravel some of the the freeze in the short-term credit markets. And the things that are happening is the markets are looking for a term auction facility, which provides what's called short-term loans, allows them banks and various companies to go there without the stigma of going to what's called the discount window, which is something that during the height of, it's like the last place companies want to go is something called the discount window. Because when you go there, it's like, uh-oh, you can't get money anywhere else? What does that mean? So JP Morgan hit that last week. And
JP Morgan went to the discount window?
Yep. So
I always thought it'd be Goldman Sachs.
Well, it could be anybody, but this just tells you how much screwed up debt is again in the system once more. Now, it may not be levered at the same level. It's just a different twist. It's not a 40-time mortgage leveling, leveraging. It's just some kind of, I don't know, some kind of banker-created debt bubble that's bursting again under, yes, extreme pressure. But, you know, you got like Boeing tapping their entire credit line. They pulled out their entire, like $13 billion yesterday. I don't know if you saw the Boeing stock. Boeing tapped $102 today. It was $369 a few months ago.
Yeah.
So this commercial paper market needs to be cleaned up so that companies can draw on credit lines and not have pressure on the banks, because they're going to be, you know, you got to have some other way to do it, because if they start drawing on the banks, banks will lose liquidity. People are drawing the money out of their money markets and it's just a mess. So that's what's going on in the credit markets and why things are so screwed up. They did announce a commercial paper facility funding, a CPFF, today, and the Treasury is going to provide $10 billion of credit protection to the Federal Reserve. So what that means is the Federal Reserve says, hey, we're not doing this. We're going to get killed on this. What, are you kidding me? How could we do this? This is a loser. Treasury says, now the Treasury's stepping in, by the way. So we haven't seen the Treasury step in yet, right? It's all been the Fed. Treasury steps in and says, you know, you do this, we'll back you up to $10 billion. No matter what happens. Pretty unbelievable, right?
Yeah, that's a nice little guarantee, a little better than the FDIC's $250,000 for an individual.
Right, yeah, exactly. But what's amazing is the velocity of the unravel. And I get it. We basically got a stoppage of business, a stoppage of consumer activity. And, you know, this is causing a big problem. But amazing. So different than 2008, 2009, where it took, what, a year for this thing to develop? This has taken 3 weeks. It may have been building up a bit, but it really took 3 weeks to just blow everything out.
Huh.
So let's put this in perspective. How bad is it? There's a chart here called drawdown in trading days. This shows the drawdowns of 20% and the velocity, how long it took to get there. 1917, 62, 87, 2008, 20, all these different years. The pink thick line is where we were to get to 20%. It was under 20, about 20 days. Look how much faster that line dropped than any other time.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was moaning about early in the show when I said that, you know, you usually have these drop-offs that are, that just, you know, there's like falling off the cliff. It's just like when you throw a rock, it just doesn't go straight down. This is pretty much straight down.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty much. It's remarkable. I mean, the closest one to this is like, I don't know. I'm looking here. 40 days? I don't even know what that
20, I think that it's either 20 or 29 is gets there pretty quickly.
Yeah, but this is just shocking. But that's what happens when you have a total stoppage of everything right away. Plus, you have an oil crash. And on top of that, you have one of the biggest companies in the Dow Jones Industrial, one of the most important companies, not only in the Dow Jones Industrial, but for the nation in terms of employment, that is cracking due to just other problems. So you have this almost perfect storm that is developing here. And I don't think Boeing's going out of business, but I don't even know if they're going to be rescued per se. And a lot of things that are coming into play here are, hey, we're going to rescue these companies that spent all this money on buybacks over the years, didn't have money plowed aside and we're going to rescue them? How's that work?
Yeah, well, that would be the argument I use too.
They've been propping
up their own stock by wasting money buying high. And just, you know, the stock goes a new high and it makes a little 1-point dip, and they buy more. And this has been going on for as long as we've been doing this show, because that's all you complained about.
Yeah, I've been complaining about it. And I said
it consistently.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been complaining about that. And I've also been complaining about the ETFs, which I think are a major part of this. I said one day we're going to have, you know, this is all going to come to roost. I didn't know how, where, why, what was going to be the catalyst. But here we are. And I'm hearing a lot of discussion if this looks like, you know, we're getting a lot of comparatives. There was a recession. We're going into a recession, right? Would you agree with that?
I absolutely. And I think we're going into a bear market.
Yeah, well, we're in a bear market now.
I mean, we're technically in a bear market, but, you know.
Right. So I think
most people have not experienced a true bear market.
Correct.
A true bear market, just for people, I've seen two of them. I'm that old. They're a market where every time you invest in something, you lose money. You can't make money except on the downside.
I think there's still some opportunities.
Oh, yes. That's what everybody's. I always get that. That's the back I get from anyone I say that, what I just said. When I say, you know, it's true. I mean, this obviously companies that are benefiting from this situation.
Right.
And you can identify those, but it's so much easier just to give up and just go short, that looks a little too high.
So one of the things, I mean, we have a lot of cash laying around and that protects us to a degree, right? However, with all this, I think we're in for a rough ride here. I do think that the financial markets will come back before the economy comes back. I believe that we're going to see some potential further downside. I don't know if it's tomorrow, next week, a month from now. I also think that with all of this money being pushed into the markets and being pushed into the economy, that when this subsides a bit, it's going to be another launch. Now, will we get to all-time highs again? I don't know. But we're going to see some incredible opportunities and movement in equities. Especially if you have a zero interest rate, your money being flushed in, massive liquidity. Once we start to reopen again, once we start to see that. So I think that, when I look at, okay, do I want to be in these stocks? Do I not? I'd rather be in some stocks and a portion of that, not having to guess when the whole thing's going to turn, and then the cash that I have on the sidelines, redeploy that so that I get that kind of that velocity movement. This is going to be down drop, you know, in time. But over time, of a year from now, 2 years from now, we'll be fine. So I think first of all, you want to be in quality stocks. Some names will get hurt more than others. Retail, maybe, airlines, cruises. I mean, you got cruise ships down 68% from their high, like they're going out of business. Some may, but just the assets of the cruise ships.
I think a lot of these companies are going to go out of business.
You think a Royal Caribbean or a Norwegian?
Norwegian Cruise Lines?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the cruise lines, so I have no idea which one to pick as a loser. I just don't.
Yeah.
You would have a good handle on it because you're like an aficionado.
Yeah.
Of cruises and the cruise lines, individual lines. So you could probably pick a winner. Which one's going to go out of business? You think Norwegian?
No, I think Norwegian's actually in good shape, better than some of the others and really low valued. But would I put all my money into it right now? No, because I think there's a lot more to go through.
What money would you take your, what money would you put into or take out of? If you have your money across the board and all the cruise lines, you have to pick one that's going to lose out.
Carnival, I think, has some problems. Some of the smaller lines, maybe, but Carnival, I don't know. They all have unique situations. I think Carnival right now is showing a lot more concern from the way that the action has been without it picking up any value ever on the downside. But, you know, who knows how long they could last. I think that they're spread out with many, many, many ship lines. They have also a lot of, you know, they own some high-end lines, then, you know, all these own different ones. Royal Caribbean also owns a whole bunch. So just Norwegian seems like a little bit more compact. Mm. Less exposure, potential.
What about airliners? Let's go with that.
airliners who would be bad. United. United has a major route to China. A lot of international. Versus, let's say, a JetBlue. Versus a Southwest. Versus an Allegiant.
I think Southwest is in good shape.
I mean, the only thing is we got an announcement tonight that one of their hubs, the Chicago Midway, did you see this announcement?
No.
There's coronavirus in the tower, and all of the get these brain farts here. You know, the guys that work in the tower,
The air traffic controllers.
Air traffic controllers. They walked out, or at least they were taken out, and Midway's closed.
Oh, well, it takes care of a lot. One hub.
Yep. So I think Southwest is definitely of interest if you want to play that side of things. Delta Airlines, very strong balance sheet, had a very strong balance sheet. A lot of international, though, there. So, but on the other hand, when it opens up again, you may see something dramatic. So I don't think you take your money out of stocks. You reduce your exposure. And we've been doing that for the last year. Not a great move into the end of last year, but it's been really good this year. You know, your market's down 30% and you're down, I don't know, in your conservative portfolios where we do our asset allocation models and our global allocations, down anywhere from, I don't know, 4 to 8, 9%. Depending on
reasonable.
Yeah. And then, you know, in our trading account, got a little blindsided on a couple things there, maybe down 12%, 11%, 12%, depending on the day. Mm. So, now there's some more information about how long is this going to last? Because that's the big question everybody wants to know, right? So Eamon Javers tweets, I'm told the White House coronavirus task force has two estimates being used. The optimistic scenario is the peak virus will come 1 month from March 14th. And that is what Adam is saying also. I think he said
Adam is saying April 6th.
April 6th. Yeah, he texted me a couple times today.
I gave him a four-day leeway. Either way, if he gets anywhere near that, then I'll give him credit for a perfect pick. But his idea was that this was there was controllable and they weren't going to, but they just wanted to get money back into the system. So once the money was released for that $8.5 billion was released, he gave it 30 days after that. He's not the only one who's thinking like that.
But then what do you mean? So all of a sudden this whole thing drops off? Is it the peak virus or is it the market route?
It's a peak virus.
How does the peak virus have to do with anything with money?
Well, what has to do with money is shutting everything down and closing the economy. That's what has to do with the money and the market. I don't think, I mean, the virus, yeah, it's got something to do with it. If you're going to have millions and millions dead people that you have to pick up. But if they just let the things go, I mean, they couldn't do that. So they're not,
I mean, peak virus.
It's an experiment. It's an experiment you can't do.
So I don't necessarily disagree with peak virus. If you calculate some of the timing of this and the slopes of other countries and we don't have testing that's giving us accurate data. But assuming that we have some data, I don't think that April 6th is that far off maybe from the peak virus, especially because if we start really ramping up testing now, and that gives us what? It gives us a three-week run, which is 21 days, and we have the baseline of now to then, I don't think that's terribly far off potentially for peak virus, but I don't know if that's market trough either.
Well, we'll find out soon enough.
One of the things that was worrying me
is that I'm not liking the situation. And the circumstances, especially in these in California where we
you're
have
old.
To stay in the house.
You're old.
Oh, well, I'm not worried about that so much, but I'm pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And I don't get sick. And I'm not like the sickly type, so I'm not worried about that.
So the big concern that I saw that kind of like freaked me out a little bit was when this U.S. sailor aboard a warship tested positive. And I started thinking, oh, wait a second. What if the military starts getting this and it really branches out dramatically? Do we all of a sudden have a hole in our military?
Well, it depends. I mean, not everybody who gets it, especially the younger people, get sick. They just have a few of the symptoms and they test positive, and many are fully functional.
Well, that would be, yeah, but they can't be with anybody else or in the area of anybody else because they'll give them.
It's a rough go on a ship,
right.
No doubt about that.
Right. Right. We got to kind of run out of time here. We're talking about a lot of things. Let me go through a few things. China, a view into the future. Manufacturing declined 13% over the first 2 months of the year. Retail sales dropped 20%. I don't see those as being unreasonable for us to see as numbers. Fixed asset investment, which is a gauge of expenditures of items including infrastructure and property, machinery, equipment, collapsed by 24.5% in the first couple of months. So with all these restaurants closed and all of this companies closed, and I don't know, I talked to my daughter tonight and she's really good at working from home. She's like, I can't concentrate. I've been here 2 days. I can't get any work done. So I don't know what's going on there.
But she can't work at home?
She's having a problem adjusting to full time at home.
But you said she was good at working from home.
I mean, generally she was when she had to, like, maybe for a day here or a day there.
I'm actually working on an essay about this because which will be done pretty, like, tonight probably. And it discusses this because I've been working from home on and off, mostly working from home, since 1982 or so, maybe 83. So I've been doing this for 30 years. And once in a while, I'll take a job someplace and I'll go into an office for a while and then get the lay of the land and worm my way back into working from home. But most of the time, I'm a writer. I work from home. I'm a podcaster now. I work from home. I mean, I'm home right now.
Yes, you are.
And you're not. You're in the office.
I'm at the office at the studio.
And so I discussed the mechanisms that some people utilize. They have offices that they go to. Some people put a shed in their backyard and work from home, but they're not really at home. They're out in the shed. There's a lot of elements to this. And a lot of it is come to the conclusion, even though I used to lecture about this, I've come to the conclusion that it's just not that easy.
Yeah.
So your daughter doesn't surprise me. I think a lot of people think it's easy or think it's great. You can work from home. You have to have some knowledge about the whole process to pull it off. And I don't think that many people can do it. I think they prefer, you know, being bound to a desk in some building someplace, which is like, makes me cringe.
My grandfather, he was an attorney, and in the latter part of his life, he worked from home. He would get up every morning, though, and put on a full suit,
you tie,
and go. I'm like, where are you going? You know, if I slept over his house or something, he's like, I'm going to work. I'm like, oh. And he would just go into the other bedroom, and he would work from there with a full suit on. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's one way of, you know, at least establishing boundaries. And like the shack in the backyard is another one. But most people, this is beyond most people's skill level. I didn't think so when I first, you know, got into it, or when I first talked about telework, you know, they keep changing the terms, and there's a whole bunch of foundations and organizations that promote it. And I think it's a great idea, saves overhead on the company, but people just can't do it. They need to be in an office.
Right. Well,
wasting time gossiping.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me. I mentioned that buybacks, 8 of the biggest, I think maybe even 10 now or 12 of the biggest U.S. banks that will suspend their share buybacks through quarter two of 2020, Bank of America, Bank of New York, Citi, Goldman, JP. They'll buy stocks when prices go back up, not when they're down. So, right? That's what they do. Idiots.
That's a good one.
Yeah. The box office, the movies suffered their worst weekend in 2 decades with fewer people going to the movie theaters. Yeah, and now AMC closed and Cinemark closed, and that's it. There was one movie that did well.
I think Regal closed too.
Yeah, everybody's done. You got to close. It's just everybody's putting their hands in the popcorn. And, yeah.
We either go with this idea or not.
Yeah. Cruise line shutting down. Europeans are banned from coming to the U.S., including Ireland and U.K. This is, like, honestly the worst stuff ever. This is the worst. Hedge fund Ray Dalio, one of the smartest men in town, down 20% during the recent market decimation. Even his machines, he has a...
He's the guy.
Yep.
Yeah, good work, right?
Yep. So the question has become, you know, when's it safe to invest? And a lot of Wall Street strategists out there believe the near-term rebound will be short-lived unless we see a peak in coronavirus infection. And they're saying that we need to see aggressive fiscal policy. If the origin of the problem, the virus outbreak, starts showing some clear signs of peaking, which we are seeing supposedly in China, there was very little new cases that were reported today. Most of them were imported from outside. During the SARS crisis in 2003, the market troughed the week after infection cases topped. and we need to get credit back to normal. So we're getting a few of those things doing. That's happening. I will tell you that I think the best analog is not the SARS virus outbreak. I think it's the 73-75 recession. Post the polio and then the oil shock, where we saw that, that's kind of a better analog, it seems to me. You should look at that.
I'm familiar with it, but I don't know what the charts look like.
Yep, look at them, you'll see. Okay. Moving quickly, one for thought before we get to the next section here. The newest, I looked up a Google search for martial law. Look at this, since March 6th, that search time term on Google Trends is peaking out.
Yeah, the conspiracy people are all thinking we're going to have, there's two good ones that are floating. One is we're going to be a martial law, and there's not going to be any travel between the states, which is funny. And we, okay, great. And the other one is, which is the one that's only starting to build, is that Trump wants to keep this thing going so he can postpone the election for president in November and just maintain office.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's a good one, though.
Yep. A couple things to note here. Episode 500 is coming. We're on episode number 497. Three episodes away. I don't know if we're going to do anything special. But one thing, we should do something. Maybe you write one of your crafty letters to our newsletter list. You can sign up, of course, on DH Unplugged for that. We send out like once or twice a year, we send something out. But some special announcements and special opportunities. But you can, of course, help the show and maybe support episode 500 in advance.
And this is the time to do it because you can't get enough information about the stock market if you're an investor.
That's correct.
During a time like this.
I concur. So you can donate to DH Unplugged over on dhunplugged.com. Any amount is fine. I don't know, for my 55th birthday, which will be Friday, which I'm not having a party, cancel the crawfish gathering, pretty much going to sit home and just, I don't know, do nothing. And episode 500 is coming, so maybe, something in that range. You know,
so you're going to have a crawfish boil.
Canceled.
Oh, that's too bad.
I got a steel drum player that sings it. Canceled.
Oh, it's too bad.
About 80 pounds of crawfish. Canceled. Yep. Terrible.
But they didn't deliver the crawfish, did
no,
they?
No. They would have delivered on, I would have picked it up at the airport on Sunday morning.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yep. So go over to DH Unplugged and please do that. It's very much appreciated. It's the only way that we really can keep the whole machine running here, and maybe we helped you out. We gave you some advice, a little education, whatever it is, just help us out as well. It's, again, something that we ask you to do regularly. We're not going to beg too much, but there we go. In our next section, I have a couple questions. What about WeWork? We haven't heard WeWork for a while. If you remember,
That guy got lucky.
Yeah. I always said this company was one recession away from bankruptcy. I mean, you got to think that this company, which has fixed investments and fixed payments for their offices and variable income due to people that are working now are not going to be working and canceling their short-term leases. And geez, how does that work? Not good.
No. This is also going to hurt Uber and Lyft.
Uber and Lyft canceled their ride sharing. So
yeah.
not the total program, but just when you...
According to the millennials, nobody wants to take an Uber or a Lyft. They don't know who's been in there before. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And there's no place to go.
Yeah.
Really, the real beneficiaries of Uber and Lyft have always been the alcoholics in the millennial group that had to go to bar hopping and they needed a Lyft so they wouldn't come home or get drunk driving charges.
Right, because there's no designated driver anymore. Everybody wants to party.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about something. I think it's really important. This is really an I do believe this is vital to understand right now. With all that's going on right now, there's a lot of BS floating around in the markets. And there's a couple of sites out there that seem to promote some really crazy stuff that people buy into and it hits all the news wires. Like, and this is a really important time to get the source and confirm the information that you're seeing, not just read the headline, not just read an article, not just take a snippet off of social media, because you're going to get bad information. Because everybody seems to have an angle and a desire to maybe push down a stock, push up a stock, move the markets one way or another, freak people out. I don't know what they're doing. Or just using it as clickbait. And I'm going to give you an example of something happened today. So today, from the news wires, And it was also on Business Insider. And it was on Zero Hedge. Okay? Two companies that pretty much are the same. They're sensationalistic. They have some good information here and there. But I got to tell you, they usually hit hard to the negative side. It said Amazon tweets that it will be suspending shipments other than medical supplies and household staples. So you get that. You read that. Wow. Woo. And we saw.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah. And that was on one of my preferred sources. I saw that on one of my preferred sources that pushed that through. I said, wait a minute. Really? Seriously? That doesn't seem right. So I looked a little closer. And the quote was, again, Amazon tweets that is suspending shipments other than medical supplies and household staples. If you go to directly onto the Amazon blog, which was linked by Zero Hedge, which I looked on there, they said, so in the short term, we are temporarily prioritizing household staples, medical supplies, and other important products coming into Amazon fulfillment centers so we can more quickly receive, restock, and ship these products to customers. So that's entirely different,
I'd say.
You know, that than saying that Amazon is suspending shipments. I don't even know how they get that out of this. So did that affect Amazon for a moment? I don't know, maybe people were freaking out. Machines saw that. Don't forget, they know machines will be reading this stuff. So be very careful. This is just one example of many things that you'll see on a regular basis. Oversold
Thank
indicators.
Thank you for that public service you just provided.
Now, we have a lot of Fed limericks. I don't know if you want to go through them all tonight.
Well, let's just go through the first three.
All right, we'll go from, okay, so I'll read, if somebody sent me in two, I'll just read one of theirs.
Okay.
So this one's from Gary Henneberry, Fed limericks. He says, he writes, My portfolio situation really blows. Even my utilities are at new lows. Money market's not so great since the Fed cut the rate, tied one out, and my bottom shows.
Close. It's interesting that you actually improved it by adding the word so, which improved the limerick's rhyming and cadence, I'd say. Mm. Because the line that you read was money markets not so great, when the line he wrote was money markets not great.
Yeah.
So you actually improved it. And in the end was a little disappointing. I'd give that one a B minus.
All right, chat room, you got to also vote. I don't see anybody voting here, so everybody's got to vote on these. B minus for Gary Henberry. The next one is from Bart Burtons. Last summer I got some ABC stock, expecting Mary Jo would rock. I thought I had banked, but since then it tanked, and I'm selling my butt down the dock.
You did another misread.
Well, it's ACB stock, yeah.
ACB
but
stock.
But that didn't matter.
No, it didn't. You're right. Especially. It's got a lewdness, which is always nice. The butt, you know, this guy's selling his body and butt. Particular, it's still not that good. But I'm generous today. I'm giving it a B minus.
Okay, let's see if I found one that I really liked here. Okay, this one's from Dylan Lawrence. Trump's a big fan of the Twitter, but lately he's been somewhat bitter. Panic continues to spread despite moves by the Fed, and now markets are in the shitter. And now markets are all in the shitter.
Yeah, yep.
I'm bad. I'm misreading.
You're reading poorly today. Markets are all in there. Markets are. It may have been better the way you read it again. I like that one a little bit. I'll give that a B.
Okay, so we're done with these. All right. You can send them all into dhemail@dhunplug.com. We have like five more.
Yeah, we'll do the rest of them on the next show.
Yeah.
Or three of them.
This one, the one from Jeff Zellin, this number two is pretty good, I thought. But we'll read that next time. Let's take a look at, we're going to take a look at the stocks.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
How do you like that list?
Well, we have, this is a first for the show after almost 10 years of doing the show. There's nothing on the list. It's all got knocked off.
Even gold got knocked off.
Yeah, and even gold got knocked off.
You know, that tells you that people are really looking for cashing in on anything they can, grabbing their money and putting into cash.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Yep.
So
last week we said, there's no way we're getting involved in this.
That's what we said.
Now, this week, there's no way I'm getting involved in this. Futures are down 4%, approximately 4% now. Let's see. Futures are doing a predicted opening tomorrow morning of down 760 points on the Dow, 98 on the S&P, 295 on the NASDAQ. So, looking a little rough.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I'm not putting anything on here. I'm not getting involved in this. I mean, there's some things I would put on. Let me tell you some things. Peloton I like.
Oh.
Stay-at-home fitness. All the clubs have closed.
Oh, that's a good idea, yeah.
So that's one. I mean, I can put that on there. That's an interesting one. BDX. So here's something for you. Companies like Medtronic, BDX, and AHPI, I think it is, they have divisions or provide for ventilators.
Oh, the ventilator company.
So I think what's interesting about that is if you think about hurricanes, people like, one hurricane, I'm not buying a generator. Two hurricanes, by the third one, they're like, screw this, I'm getting a generator, okay? I think that this may be a time that hospitals are going to be like, you know what? I think we need to stock up on ventilators. So BDX, MDT, Medtronic, and I think it's AHPI, I think is the other one. AHPI has actually ventilators for, specifically for pandemics, where they set up like mobile tents, whatever, for multiple people that have to,
What are these symbols again?
I think it's AHPI. Let me just look at this. I gotta look at this. AHPI. So it's BDX. I didn't do that right. Allied Healthcare Products, AHPI.
And then Medtronics, which has been around.
Yeah, they bought Covidien. I believe it's Covidien, which is the ventilator company.
Huh. Let's just put these two on there, all three of them, if you want, and see what happens. At least we can watch it.
AHPI. I got to put it somewhere else. AHPI, enter. BDX, enter. And what was the other one? Medtronic.
MED, I think.
So I'll put those on there and I'll track those. We can do those together?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, but it was not recommended.
Right. We'll just track these. Tracking. Just
doing it for tracking.
So I'm going to put tracking. Ventilators. Tours. Okay. That's about all I have for this week.
No, well, same here.
Covidien. Did I say COVID? Oh, Covidien. Ha ha. Very funny. Tom. Thanks, Tom. Hey, Tom. On the show, obviously Tom needs a little job karma. We can't give it to you here, but I'm gonna hopefully push that into No Agenda for you on Thursday. So Tom has a problem at his studio. But anyway, I'll see you again next week.
Okay, talk to you on Tuesday.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.